And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
It was 1776 when the founders signed the writ of independence from the Brits. It was revolution.
I salute you, America. This is, you know what it is. This is the Republic for the United States of America. Gene and I are going to make a presentation the first half hour. And really, the name of the presentation, listen up, is God's Solution for America. Yeah, we have God's Solution for America on this program. You are tuned in to the best program to be tuned into. Great program tonight. So Gene and I will be delivering the first half hour. And after that, we're going to turn the floor over to Justice Waters, and he's going to give a presentation called Now It's Your Turn. And Governor Carpenter, I'm going to call on towards the end, and he's going to give his perspective on what's going on in his life concerning the Republic and what's going on out there. So with that, I'd like to ask Representative Mark Finder, sir, from the Free State of Iowa, would you please open us in prayer?
Well, thank you, David. Hello, America. The best thing we can do right now is pray to our Father. Our Father in heaven, please hear our prayer. With all that's going on around the world, we give thanks for the innocent souls being rescued and saved from the abominable acts of oppression and persecution. Bless those doing this righteous work, and bless their families too, Father. Let this Republic call reflect your will and words as we strive to unite Americans with the valuable knowledge to self-govern themselves and inform others. We are surely going down the road less traveled today because we know what is right and are unafraid to stand up for America because America is worth fighting for. And by your will, Father, soon that road will have many more patriots traveling down it to victory as well. Father, we need you more than ever to empower us to be that lookout at the city gate and sound the warning when the enemy approaches, to be brave and bold in speech with our gospel armor on and the sword of the Lord in hand. Be with us as we continue to rely on you and your word to guide us and unlock for us an understanding to be victorious in battle with our standard, forever glory, raised high for all to see. Put an impenetrable shield of protection around us, each and every one of us, your wars for liberty, Father, and around our families and friends, and wash us with the blood of Jesus that we may be clean in your sight too, Father. And so, by your will and word, the victory will be ours, but the praise and glory will belong to only you. In the name of the Lord, our righteousness and Savior, Yeshua, we pray. Amen, and thank you, Father.
Thank you, Representative Mark Finder. Great prayer as always. God's Solution for America. Listen to me. You know, I've been on this program now for some 3 years or so, and I'm figuring out what is holding you back. I'm figuring you out as to why there's not a real great big momentum locking arms and marching across America and saying, I want this republic. It's because in 1947, Everson versus the Board of Education, they came out. Who did? The Supreme Court says the First Amendment is erected to cause of separation between church and state. That wall must remain high and impregnable. And so for 15 years, the news media took that statement to get the people's mindset through propaganda that when 62 came around, that the Supreme Court then said, this is what Jefferson meant. This is separation of church and state. We have to take all spiritual activity, all religion, out of public setting. And so that includes the school. No more prayer in school. In the next year, in 63, they took Bible curriculum out of school. Let's take the Ten Commandments stuff. Well, that's not what Jefferson meant when he wrote a letter to Danbury Baptist. The First Amendment says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. You know what the establishment of a religion is? What that is, it's a denomination. It has nothing to do with the separation of church and state. It's that we're not going to have one denomination running the national government, and hopefully, back then, not going to have one denomination running the state government. Joseph Story. Who was Joseph Story? He was in the Supreme Court. James Madison appointed him, and here's what he said. He said the real object of the First Amendment was not to countenance. Now, countenance in that statement is approval or favor, much less to advance Mohammedanism or Judaism or infidelity by prostrating Christianity. Now, listen to this. This is Joseph Story. This is the real deal. This is the First Amendment. Okay, this is the establishment of religion. Joseph Story said it this way, but to exclude all rivalry among Christian sects or denominations and to prevent any national ecclesiastical patronage of the national government. For 170 years, church meant a federally established denomination. In 62, the Supreme Court changed the meaning of church and made it sound like, okay, this is what Jefferson meant. We can't have any spiritual activity going on in a public state. That's not what he meant. What he meant was we're not going to have one denomination. Okay? The 501c3 that came out in 1954 has really, if you would admit it, has controlled your church and what you say behind the pulpit and in Sunday school class. And so some of the things, or a lot of the things that we've been sharing on this radio program, oh, don't talk to me about politics. Oh, no, we don't embrace politics. That just, we can't have that. Okay, if you look at Hosea 4:6, now there's a difference between being stupid and ignorant. If you're ignorant, you don't have the knowledge, or you don't want the knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. We have been trying to get through to you, but there's been this wall thinking that we can't have anything to do with politics. Well, I want to ask you some questions. How does America get righteousness back to its to exalt the nation? If we go to Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth the nation, sin is a reproach to anything. How does America get righteousness? How can America be a city on a hill which cannot be hid? It was a city on a hill. When Constitution 1787 ratified 1789, and on April 30th, 1789, George Washington, the father of our country, became our first president, followed by Adams, and we had Jefferson, you know, we had John Quincy, we had Madison, we had Monroe, we had great presidents. We became the greatest nation in the world from 1789 going to 1861, the start of the Civil War. I can't expound on that right now, but we were. And how can we be a city on a hill as they were back then? How can that happen for us again? How can America clean up the TV programming and clean up the smartphones? How can America's schools have modest dress codes as they once did? How can our children have Christian public school teachers that will lead their classes in prayer and teach Bible curriculum again? How can that happen? Listen to the progressives. To the progressives. They've been around since the 1900s, okay? Except for Trump, except for JFK. To the progressives, better schools are laboratories of social engineering where children are conditioned to accept the new world order and embrace social change. It is a place where traditional values are replaced by transitional values, followed by humanistic and socialistic values, in order to implement a utopian society where humans are able to evolve to perfection. Then a new social order is able to be implemented that replaces the traditional family and has no mention of sin, therefore no need of Jesus. Go to whylibertymatters.com, Dr. Marlene McMillan. That's what the NEA is telling the teachers what to teach in public schools. But how can we get it back? How can we have Christian public school teachers that will lead our classes in prayer and Bible curriculum? How can sex trafficking be finally eliminated? How can America do away with the prison industry? How can America rid themselves from fake news? How can America rid themselves from pornography? Oh, that's freedom of speech. They you can't do that. Oh, but pornography was found to be harming anyone that views. And look what it's done to marriages across America. Here, how can America rid themselves from adultery and fornication? How can America rid themselves from gambling? How can families be wholesome with great morals? How can America have biblical culture? Well, you're saying to me, you're listening to me, you say, what are you saying in this story? Why are you asking these questions? The reason I'm asking these questions is because Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday night after Wednesday night, Sunday school after Sunday school, the preacher gets in the pulpit, you put your money in the plate. What has changed in America for the last 60, 70 years? What has changed since 1954 in America? You're doing the same thing Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday night after Sunday. You have your prayer night. What has changed in America? That's why I'm bringing this up. How can America enjoy, listen up, civil and religious liberty? You don't even know what liberty is in this country. If you had religious liberty in this country, you would have civil liberty. There's not a truth to be gathered in history. Joseph Story. There's not a truth to be gathered in history more certain or more momentous than this, that civil liberty cannot long be separated from religious liberty without danger and ultimately without destruction to both. For where there is religious liberty, it will sooner or later, first or last, bring in and establish political liberty. You do not have political liberty in your state. I don't care what state you live in. You don't have political liberty in the nation's capital because you don't have religious liberty. How can America practice virtue and Christianity 7 days a week, not one or two? In other words, how can we have a culture based around God's word? How can America's students attending universities and colleges graduate with a biblical worldview as they once did? A provincial worldview, as they once did. How can that happen again? How can America have sacred weddings and marriages? How can America have a drastic decline in divorce? How can the people enjoy happiness in America? Listen to me. Liberty First University, Chris Ann Hall, did her research, and she found out in 1641, this is how they destroy liberty. This is how the worshipers of Satan in this country, in these offices, whether it's in the executive branch, whether it's in the judicial branch, whether it's the legislative branch, whether it's the assemblies in the state that are made up of Freemasons that worship Satan, that has destroyed liberty. They can't stand the sound of that word liberty. Corruption of the court system. They took the laws of nature and of nature's God out of the Supreme Court and replaced it with case law. That was because of Langdell, who went to Harvard in 1870, became the dean, and he took it upon himself to make that happen. Government inserting itself in the church, 501c3. You that are with the 501c3 across America, I don't care what denomination you are, you are living, you are going to church, you are exercising the union of church and state by embracing 501c3 with the yellow fringe flag up by the altar. You hear what I'm saying? Okay? Infiltration of the foreign law. Universal commercial code. Number four, diminishing the property rights of the people. Manipulation of the monetary system. The Federal Reserve Act. This one they've been trying to do for years and years and years. Government disarming the people while the government remains armed. That's the last one. These are all to destroy liberty. But here's the big one. This is one that you can't believe what I'm saying to you. Keep history from the people. Keep truthful history from the American people. If you folks knew what America's very truthful history was, you would have a different outlook on things. You may be listening to me with more acuteness in your heart. You may be seeing things different. You, when you went to high school, were not told America's truthful history. No, you learned about dead people, and that's all you looked at. Boring. If you find out what America's truthful history is, it'll change your outlook tremendously. Okay. So what I'm getting at here, America, with all the obstruction of justice that has taken place with the presidential election and the enemies of America stealing the victory, can we possibly think, listen to me, can we possibly think that we have 4 years to survive this counterfeit jurisdiction and that America will recover? I want you to think about your children. I want you to think about your grandchildren. The National Education Association is telling the teachers what to teach your children. Are you going to allow 4 more years of those people teaching lies without a standard, without a plumb line, without the Bible curriculum, without prayer in school? Are you going to allow that to happen? Can you allow 4 more years of socialism in this country, of communism in this country? Can you do that? I turn the floor over to Jean Hertler.
Thank you, David. Good evening, America. No, I don't believe we can survive 4 more years with as far gone as America has gone, from being a city upon a hill, going back to the very beginning with the Pilgrims, with the Mayflower Compact, and going covenants forward up until the Declaration of Independence, which is another covenant with Almighty God, the Creator. We were infiltrated by an evil people who have done an insurgency. And it's been a gradual, it's called gradualism, in their objective to take America away from being the propagator of the advancement of the kingdom of God. That was America's objective. That was the Pilgrims' objective, and all throughout America was to advance the gospel of the kingdom. They were a righteous people. They were a holy people all throughout history. Yeah, there were bad eggs in there, and there's skeletons in the closet, and they sure get picked apart by those that really want to hit on our history or change our history. We have to realize that the American Republic was placed in dormancy in the Civil War years during the Reconstruction era. And Reconstruction it was, because as they went through Reconstruction, those that infiltrated our government, they also infiltrated every institution of America. You name it, they infiltrated it. And what they did is they went forward into the Gilded Age, which was a bunch of money, you know, building up industrialization and the railroads, and the Vanderbilts got rich on the railroads, and the Rockefellers got rich on Standard Oil, and they were monopolizing industry, and America became very wealthy through all of that industrialization. The next era was the Progressive Era at 1900, and that was it. That was progressive to go away from the Bible, from a biblical culture, to take us away from the standard of God. that changed our money system into a debt fiat system that enslaved us. We're all economic slaves. We don't have liberty. And as David had said with quotes, civil and religious liberty are yoked together. You can't have one without the other. We know we don't have civil liberty, so we don't have religious liberty either. And people in churches think they do, but as I was saying in the progressive era in 1900, they got into our education system and used gradualism to take the Bible out of schools and the Bible curriculum that American children had been taught really since 1607 at Jamestown going forward. That was the curriculum up until the progressive era in the 1900s. They did it gradually so it wasn't too noticeable, so you know the people weren't out there with tar and feathers to take them out. But even before World War II, the children weren't learning in school all of our truthful history. It was taken away from us. Our knowledge was taken away from us. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. America were God's people for the most part. And how do we get it back? Well, we know the scripture, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will turn from them, I will answer them from heaven. But the people of faith, those that claim to be the people of faith that are in these religious organizations that became part of the state government when they became corporations, 501c3, they have to obey the rules of that government. And that happens to be the same government that usurped the American Republic that is now the corporate democracy. They can't tell you the truth because they're not allowed to talk about it. They've had their heritage stolen from them. They've had their history stolen from them. So they don't know who they are. They've been blinded. A veil has been put over their eyes. And in that indoctrination going forward in the 1900s, definitions of our words have been changed. Just like David said, the definition of church from what it had been for 250 years got changed to mean something else. And don't dare bring it in public. To where our language has changed. We've gone from a biblical standard that is known as didactic, that is absolute truth, that are the principles of God's law, the laws of nature and of nature's God that's stated right in the Declaration of Independence. And they've been taught, we've been taught, baby boomers have been taught, and our parents have been taught the dialectic of relativism. If it feels good, do it. Based on feelings, not on principles, not on God's laws, not on absolutes, moral absolutes. And church people don't realize that this has come into their church. They've been indoctrinated. They've been brainwashed into this current culture. And it's not healthy. Look what it's got us. So we have to face up to the truth and realize we've been lied to, we've been taught wrong, we've been made into sheep that are being led to the slaughter. And as General Paul Vallely has said when we've had him on the radio program, he said on other radio programs, we need divine intervention as a nation. And if you know your history, you will know that that's happened before many times. There are many, many accounts through our history that preserve this nation. But if you don't know your history, you don't know what that is. And I tell you, your history is your heritage. It's who you are as an American. All four of my grandparents immigrated to America either in the very late 1800s or the early 1900s. Okay, they weren't of the founding era. They weren't of the era of the Pilgrims and the Puritans. But my parents claimed Americanism. They didn't speak the languages of the countries that their parents came from. They agreed to become American and speak English and to learn the American way because it was blessed. It was the city upon a hill. They had liberty. There was food for the children to eat because they had ability to work to provide that for their children. But it's my heritage, too. They're God-given rights. They're inalienable. But you don't have them if you don't know what they are. Open your heart and realize we're on the brink of total slavery, death, and chaos unless the people of faith wake up, regain their heritage that is their history. It is also their birthright because the American people have a birthright to continue on what our founders and our forefathers and our foremothers gave their lives and their blood for. That's sacred. And you have to know what your birthright is before you know your national identity and your calling and your prophetic destiny. It's not based on feelings. It's based on moral absolutes, the laws of nature and of nature's God. And you have to face that. And you have to yearn to learn it and learn it quickly and teach it to the children quickly because we're on the brink. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, think the laws of nature and of nature's God, I will also forget thy children. We're there. Open your hearts, people of faith. American people, know who you are.
Tell the people, Jean, if you would, please, about the books and just a little bit how to get involved, if you would, please. Thank you.
Sure will. Our website is republicfortheunitedstatesofamerica.org. And there you can learn a plethora of different things. There's several tabs. And start your learning journey. We have books that are provided for the people. The rights are given to, ultimately, to the American people, but to the republic. And there you can learn, there's two books, Reinhabited Republic for the United States of America, Volume 1, America's Truthful History, Volume 2, The Story of the Reinhabitation, How the America Was Preserved in Law. And we're here as a group of people that have been faithful in the calling for over 10 years. This is the grace of Almighty God that the title was held on behalf of the American people. So that when the corporation collapses, the United Nations can't come in and claim receivership of the American people and their assets. This is what was done for you. The title is being held, and you need to learn it so that you can stand up and then fill your obligation and your duty as an American. You have to learn it. And I want to recommend to you, as a student of American history, as a historian, as an author, that the real place to begin is with Dr. Marshall Foster's book, The American Covenant, The Untold Story. It's a beautiful history. It's a small book. He's updating it, and it will be released next month. You won't even be able to buy any old copies out there because they're going like fire right now. And also learn from Kirk Cameron, who is teaching that book on Facebook with the American Campfire Revival. This is how we're going to start Holy Spirit fires. You who have been praying for Holy Spirit revival in your towns and your cities in America, in your state, this is how we do it. This is the Holy Spirit fire. This is the direction you've asked, and I'm telling you. You can go to the Republic for the United States of America.org to learn. You can go to reinhabited.com about the books and to learn, and you can seek out that book, The American Covenant, The Untold Story, and start regaining your heritage and read it to your children. Teach it to your children. Teach it to your grandchildren.
Thank you very much, Jean Hertler. We have a special guest tonight. I'm going to ask him to come on and get us in a fever pitch. His name is Dr. Joe Gibson. Sir, you have the floor.
Hey, how are you? How you doing? Well, thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity to come on here. And I know you always welcome me when I do come on and do give, allow me to have some sort of voice, but you know, now we're starting to get to that point, and I think that was a great point that you made. It's 4 more years of this corporation and this administration. It's within this corporation, this D.C. monster with Kamala Harris and Joe Biden is going to be detrimental to the rest of our future, I would think. And from what I have seen, and I've been in the movement for a very long time, I remember waking up when George Bush gave his first New World Order speech there in 1991. And he gave it actually September 11th, 1991. September 11th, 1991, you can look it up. George Bush gave one of his New World Order speeches. How coincidental is that? But I woke up after that and then, you know, got involved with the militia community in the early 90s. We all know about Ruby Ridge, Waco. You know, that sparked a lot of energy and a lot of negative energy also. And then became involved with the Republic in 2010, 2009, 2010, the Restore America Plan, all that. And here I am today. And I do a podcast show called Understanding the Times in Which We Live Today. So I think a lot of points that was brought up by you guys tonight is very, very important and detrimental. Like I said, you know, the Restore America Plan, it reclaimed the de jure legal term meaning an original and legal form, institutions of government of the 50 state republics in order to restore common law that represents the voice of the people and ends corporate law that ignores the voice of the people, okay? And how do you get this past the average citizen out there? You know, we say waking people up. We've been in information war for a long time now. If you haven't woken up by now and you don't know what's going on, then you might as well just stay sleeping because, you know, and just go along to get along. Because now I think it's more like the people that are on the fence that don't know which side to go. And then the people that are at odds with each other, we have to bring everyone to the table. Everyone has their individual fundamental beliefs on what America stands for. We have the black population out there. They feel wrong. They feel like they didn't have a seat at the table when the Constitution was written. Okay. Well, that we can't go back in time, right? So we have to start today. We'll put you. Everyone has to have a seat at the table when the republic is restored. This is the greatest document, the Constitution, that the world has ever known, other than the Bible. Okay. So therefore, we have to go by it because it gives everyone the right to freedom, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. If we use that document properly. Now, how do we do that? We have an immoral populace. We have immoral population out there, right? We can all agree on that. You know, the rule of law. You know, matters cannot be separated entirely from questions about the size and role of government. You know, the more government grows, the harder it is to preserve rule of law, right? So what do we got to do? You know, how do we restore morality? Well, you can't legislate morality. We know that. That's impossible. That's not going to happen. You know, the church is out there. Well, restoring morality and religious freedom. We can help restore morality and preserve religious freedom by being a righteous example, being civil in our discourse, being an advocate for morality and religious freedom, answering questions, for instance. You know, I mean, you know, all this matters to a lot of people out there who don't really know who are trying to be directed in the right way, because there's so much negative influence out there. That was great what you brought up about the Federal Reserve. Most importantly, to restore liberty and end tyranny, we have got to, number one, abolish the Federal Reserve Act and end the Fed, okay? Well, let's be blunt about this. The Federal Reserve is a fraud. Okay, and Ron Paul had the right solution, audit the Fed, follow the money. And you'll see how they funded both sides of every war, inception. And that was just here. I mean, the money changers have been around, you know, for forever now. You know, they're backed by evil. And you brought up, you know, the Industrial Age and after the Civil War. And these men and these business tycoons were induced by evil spirits. And that's what we're getting to right here, I think, what you were trying to get to, David. Is that the evil-inducing spirits out there, the doctrine that they're promoting is so tickling to everyone's ears today because we are in such a fast-paced society, and we're going here, going there, and our hearts are waxed cold because all we care about is what we have and what we want and how we're going to perceive tomorrow instead of looking back at yesterday and learning from it and then living for today and then planning for tomorrow. So, you know, we have to do that, and I believe that. So restoring the republic and restoring America is the most important thing. And there's so many different ideas. There's a lot of great voices out there that bring inspiration and fire to the patriot community. But what is the right voice, or what are the right voices together going to accomplish if we're all doing something different? We all got to get on the same page. My way is not your way. Your way is not my way. Well, we're all going down the wrong way, the wrong path. So it's straight to hell. So, you know, we got to start waking up and understanding that aspect of where we're going to stand here in the near future. And it has to be the near future. It's tonight on my show, Understanding the Times in Which We Live Today, and on programs like this. There's no more next week, let's plan it. 2 weeks down the road. No, we got to act now. The time is now. Turn it back over to you guys.
There you have it, Dr. Joe Gibson. Man, I got goosebumps, Joe. Man, fever pitch. Okay, we got to keep going. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Any time, Joe, that you can make it on this program, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We just love what you just presented. And with that, I've got to go to Justice Waters. He's got a presentation. Now it's your turn. Justice Waters, you have the floor, sir.
Thank you, David. Thank you, Dr. Joe, for stopping by. It's always great to hear your voice. Hello, America. What I have tonight is going to leave you with a choice, and it's going to be your choice to decide what you want and where you want to stand. Already tonight, we have learned a few things. The Church of America is really not a church. It's a business. And it's not owned and operated by heaven. It's owned and operated by the IRS and by big corporations. So, why are you being taught certain things, and why are we not being taught what the Bible says? Gene made a very interesting comment. From early on, the church has been infiltrated. I'm going to show you tonight why the church in America at the earliest age was infiltrated. First, I got to start with Scripture, John 1:1. This is from the Hebrew. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Elohim, and the Word was Elohim. And the Word became flesh and pitched his tent among us. And we saw his esteem, an esteem of an only brought forth of the Father, complete in favor and truth. This came from John. John is the guy that, if you ever studied the disciples, he was called Thunderhead. He was called Thunderhead because he never got along with most people. Him and Peter were good friends. But he wanted to be number one. He wanted to sit right next to Christ. He wanted everything to go his way. And he was only 14 years old when Christ picked him. So he was a young kid just learning. And yet, God allowed him to live the oldest. He was in his 90s when he died. He saw all the deaths and destruction of Jerusalem and of the disciples. He saw most of the early church come and then die by the hands of the Romans. He saw all that, and then he was given a vision from the Messiah that we call the Book of Revelation. Now, John describes in his writing, in his book, the seven I Ams. He tells the spiritual aspect of this guy we call the Messiah. And by doing so, there are instances in the book of John that go deeper than Matthew, Mark, Luke, and even in the books of Acts and Romans. But there is a controversy in the church, and we need to settle this once and for all, and we can do it tonight. And that is, when did Christ die, and when did he raise? Now, if you go to an American church, any church denomination, whether it be Catholic or Protestant, you all do the same things. You all say Good Friday is when he died, and Easter is when he rose. That's what you say. Oh, we had the Reformation, John Wesley, and all them. They left the Catholic Church. No, they kept the Catholic Church. They just didn't do some of the things that they do. They kept all the rituals all through the ages. So when the church came to America, they did exactly the same thing that the Catholic Church does all over the world. And they teach the same doctrine, and they still do today. Good Friday. That's when Christ died on the cross, 3 p.m. And then he rose on Sunday morning, just before sunrise. Well, I got news for you. That's not the way it went down. See, you have to understand the culture of the day, and you got to know the Scripture. Here, I'm going to read you something that Christ actually said, because the Pharisees were questioning him, and they were wanting to see a sign to show the fact that he was truly the Messiah. And here is what Christ said. This is in Matthew 12, verses 39 and 40. But he answered and said unto them, a wicked and adulterous generation looks and seeks after a sign, and no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the stomach of the great fish, so shall me, the son of Adam, be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. 3 days, three nights. Now, there's a teaching out there in most churches that says, well, 1 second of a day constitutes a whole day. See, that comes from that little thing that Jesus talked about the people working in the vineyard. Guy worked an hour, got same pay, guy worked a whole day. That's what that means. No, it's not what that means. Here Christ says, 3 days and three nights. Okay. What constitutes a day in the Bible? Well, you got to go all the way back to the beginning. Now, you're going to find something interesting about the Bible. If you can't get the beginning right, nothing else adds up correctly. So, you go all the way back to the book of Genesis where it says seven different times, and the evening and the morning were the first day, or the second day, and it goes on down. But it always starts with the evening. So sundown is the beginning of the new day. Not midnight. That's Rome. That's Antichrist. But sundown. Now, we have this little thing we call Sunday. Well, he rose on Sunday. What's the problem with Sunday? Well, see, Sunday is the first day of the week. By the way, under Rome and under Babylonia and under the Assyrians and under the Egyptians, all of those ancient cultures, see, they had a god that they served, and the Romans called it Sol. S-O-L. They still call our sun in astronomical viewpoints Sol. It means Baal. It represents the god Baal. So the Romans, Titus, decided to give the first day of the week to their god, and he called it Sun Day. Otherwise known as Sol Day, also known as Baal Day. So when you go to the sunrise service and you're thinking you're actually worshiping the resurrection of the Messiah, you might want to stop and think that, well, the resurrection already happened, because now we're worshiping Baal. The sunrise, the sun day. Because you see, when you go through the accounts of the scripture and the day begins in the evening at sundown, in the book of John, we have that famous quote, and the new day was dawning. Oh, it's sunrise. No, it's sunset. That's when their new day begins. So here's what you do. You count backwards if you want to know what happened. But before I do that, I got one more scripture to share with you. This comes in the book of Exodus, chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. And it says, God talking to Moses, this month is the beginning of months for you. It is the first month of the year for you. speak to all the generation of Israel, saying, on the 10th day of this month, each one of them is to take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it in according to the number of the beings, according to each man's need. You count for the lamb. Let the lamb be a perfect one, a year old male. Take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then all the assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it between the evenings. The law of Moses commanded the people on the first month, on the 10th day of that month, to take a lamb away from the flock, from its daddy, from its mother, hide it in the house, keep it perfect for 3 to 4 days, and then on the 14th day of that first month, which they call Nisan, you kill it. You sacrifice it. Gee, do you know the Messiah did exactly the same thing? He rode in to Jerusalem on a donkey and went right to the gate going in to the outer court of the temple, walked into the temple and presented himself to his father as a clean and pure lamb. He went to his father's house, just as was commanded in Exodus. That is what Rome changed from a Sabbath day, last day of the week, to the first day, Sunday, Baal day. No, it happened on a last day of the week, because if you go from Saturday and you count forward 4 days, let's do that. Sunday is one, Monday is two, Wednesday, or Tuesday, let me start again. Sunday 1, Monday 2, Tuesday 3, and then Wednesday is 4. Wednesday is the 14th day, and that is Passover. But see, Rome and Constantine didn't like the Israelites, didn't like the Jews, didn't like what they did, so he took away Passover and made it Good Friday. Why Good Friday? Because Good Friday is in constitution with Nimrod. And Nimrod, well, you know, in the old days, you could marry whoever you wanted, so he married his mom, Samarius. And when Nimrod died, well, she said to the Mesopotamians that he went to heaven, he went to the sky. He's now the god of the sun. And Baal was born, mother and son. And throughout the land, mama and the son became a great story to tell to their religious people. That's why we have mother and son in the evilness. That's why they infiltrated the church, because they don't want you and your children to know the truth of who the Messiah is, because the Messiah is the God of nature. The God, the laws of nature come from him, and if you can distort that and you distort your learning, then we can manipulate you in any way we want, and that is exactly what they have done. And the people let them do it. Now, you have a choice. You can come out of that like commanded by the Creator himself, or you can stay there. That's your choice to make. But understand, this choice has consequences. You can be in heaven for eternity, or you can go to the lake of fire. That's your choice. Choose wisely, because you don't have long to make that choice.
Thank you, Justice Waters. There you have it, America. Now it's your turn. Wow. Now I want to turn the floor over to my friend Governor Carpenter from the Free State of Colorado. Sir, what is your perspective tonight, sir? You have the floor.
Thank you, David. Well, my perspective is you better figure it out because it's about to get real, if it isn't already. Well said, everyone. Thank you. America, we're at a crossroads. We're at a precipice. We're about to have to make a decision as to whether we want to live in a moral and just society or whether we want to live in a society that we're viewed as chattel or cattle or chicken or hens or fish or robots, or do you want to live as free men? Moral and just free men in a moral and just society. And that concept only comes from one place, and that's from the Holy Scriptures. And so if you're confused about whether this is church or whether this is government or whether this is a bunch of radicals, you're wrong. And you're right. It depends on your perspective.
Thank you so much, Governor Carpenter. I'm going to say it again. Every government comes from a particular religion. And the founding fathers created, with God's help, July 4, 1776, they created a government that came from a religion. And that religion is the only true religion that is about liberty. That where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. 2 Corinthians 3:17. So their basis of their government, the founding fathers, what they put together, was based on Christianity, with Jesus Christ being the cornerstone. That is the republic. That is the commonwealth. It's the state in which the exercise of the sovereign power is lodged in representatives elected by the people. In modern usage, it differs from democracy and democratic state, where the people exercise the power of sovereignty in person. But what's been running our country, going all the way back to 1871 and even before 68 with the 14th Amendment, after the assassination of Lincoln, what's been running our country comes from a religion, and that religion is Freemasonry. Freemasons worship Satan. So for all these years, you've been thinking that we've been run by the Constitution, by the Declaration of Independence, by the Bill of Rights, which the Founding Fathers put together. Wrong! Corporate democracy is run by feeling. Get it in your head. We, when we were born with an evil government, and I don't care what state you lived in, and Washington, D.C. has been an evil government. Democracy is with feelings, not with the standard, not with the plumb line from God himself, not with the 66 books in the canon of Scripture. With that, David Broadhurst, will you take us off into the sunset, please?
This is our republic, everybody. The Republic of the United States of America. I invite all of you to come aboard. Share your thoughts. We are the real deal, everybody. So everybody tonight, let's all pray. Let's all pray for each other. Let's all watch our steps. Okay, plain and simple. Just keep fighting. I'm here. We're all working hard. But I'm telling you, it's spreading now. There's patriots around our country. In the millions, in millions. They want justice. They're taking our country back, plain and simple, everybody. We're all a part of it. And God bless each and every one of you. You are amazing soldiers out here, amazing. History repeats itself. There were great, great leaders back in our days that did the same exact thing. our forefathers. Well, now it's time for new forefathers to continue on for our country. And we have them here, everybody. God bless you. God bless your family. And God bless America tonight.
God save the Republic. Our fathers appealed to heaven. What did heaven do? Heaven heard. Heaven heard. Our fathers said they would treat all men equal. When they did not, heaven saw. Heaven saw. Our fathers fought each other and paid a great price. Father Abe kept the Union, but not the Republic. We forgot the Republic and placed our trust in man and suffer oppression. We appealed to heaven. What did heaven do? Heaven heard. Heaven heard. God save the Republic.